I appreciate you joining us. I want to give a thanks to David for inviting me to present today. Hope everyone is doing well in the madness that is year 2020. I'm Brian Miller of Optimized Trading, founding partner, head strategist, quant. I design the models, all the proprietary analytics and systematic structures, et cetera, that we deploy from the products and services from which we offer. Before we get started, we'll review the disclaimer. Historical performance may not be indicative of future results. Trading or investing may carry a high degree of risk, not suitable for every investor. We do not claim or guarantee our products will perform positively and or reflect our historical performance. In fact, there can be significant differences between historical and future results. Investors should only choose to invest funds they can afford to lose without negatively impacting lifestyle. Please carefully review any trading product or service before activation. Please consult your investment professional before selecting any trading or investing strategy to ensure it meets your investment objectives and risk tolerance. No representation or advice is being made, as this presentation is for educational purposes only. A little about our firm. It's just two of us, myself and my business partner, Robert. He manages more of the customer relations, marketing aspects of our business. We were founded in 2014. Robert has space, 20, 30 years of experience, both on the traditional and alternative management aspects. And then, we met in late 2013. And we realized after several meetings that we could accomplish more working together than we could individually. And so Optimized Trading was born. We primarily focus on drifted market types. Large cap, blue chip stock, sector index, smart beta ETFs, index, bond, crude, gold, futures. And we prefer to stick with, structures that really aim to diversify the factors that produce outcome. You know, a little bit about our process and what goes into the development process, and the objective of each product or each service in which that we produce. Everything really comes back to being data dependent. So we have the performance and risk objectives, the market, asset frequency, strategic concept matching, variation of value exploited, alternative objective, which is correlation or diversification within a portfolio structure, and then outcome diversification. When we started Optimized Trading, we stepped back and we kind of analyzed how other quant firms fail or systematic or algorithmic products tend to reduce in performance as time goes on. And time again, it routinely reverted back to outcome being dependent on a prospective singularity. Well, that singularity can be exploiting a single type of alpha, a single variation of value, single outcome being dependent on a single market environment or substructure. And so really every structure that we aim to implement with an entire systematic product aims to really apply the traditional mindset or philosophy of diversification, but on a per asset, per model level. And so we really take traditional diversification kind of light years beyond the traditional methods of sector rotations or sector allocations, etc. And so we aim to exploit multiple market environments, multiple variations of value within a single systematic structure. And then we do that through deploying alternative analytics. So we constantly strive to challenge ourselves to view the market through unique or creative perspectives. And so here's a list of some of the different analytics that we include: characteristic and behavior analytics, cyclic session frequency patterns, such as FFT, frequency strengths, match analytics, or strategic concept. That really correlates to not every analytic matches well to certain strategic concepts. For instance, maybe if you're designing a momentum concept, there's a list of indicators that offer more, a higher predictive value than other lists of analytic methods. And so we first, derive specific forms of analytics for specific purposes, and then we form the purposes together to form a strategic concept and match that with the characteristics of each asset. So here at Optimized Trading, we do not design trending concepts. So we don't trade the strategy. We trade the characteristics of the market, meaning we don't apply the same strategy to every market. Every model that we design is tuned specific to each market's characteristics. Now, the underlying concept may be similar. The structures would be similar, but we tune the variables for the specific characteristics, as some markets are offer more reverting characteristics, momentum characteristics, which is again fundamentally justified. So for instance, RSP, equally weighted SPY or equally weighted S&P ETF would have more reverting characteristics than the QQQ, and that's kind of fundamentally justified because there's a plethora of different sectors and assets included within RSP compared to QQQ. It's more of a single type of market, so it's more diverse. So diversification typically reverts back to reverting characteristics, and that's again why we choose to also focus on markets that also offer more reverting characteristics, because they match well with the types of concepts that we design. So the strategic concepts that we that we really focus on are fundamental, behavioral, historical justifications, and then one of the main methods that we deploy within every systematic structure is market classification. And no matter which strategy that you're designing, ultimately you are deploying a form of market classification. So you're identifying a certain set of conditions or sequences of events to give you an indication of when to buy or when to sell. And so you're classifying the market in some way. So however, our method is slightly different. So we break things down to 64 market environments and substructures, and then we design a model for each one of those classifications. And then we apply within market classification, we apply that within the allocation and money management control module as well. As we found, especially within the quant space, a very significant amount of time and effort within our space is usually allocated to, identifying optimal entry and exit criteria or conditions or sequences, et cetera, which is important. If you would compare it to a vehicle, let's say, the entry and exit logic, would be the engine, obviously critical. But, there's other aspects of a quote unquote complete product, such as an allocation or money management, that if it's a quality model or quality control module, that combined together is really, would be the transmission and steering wheel of that vehicle. So it's another critical aspect of what we do is not just, applying intellect within or adaptability within the entry and exit logic, but also within the allocation. So it gives us another method, another layer to implement and, layered intellect within a complete systematic product. The other strategic concepts are random or cyclic, momentum reverting, correlation spread, PBMV. And so these, again, some of these comps are meant more for specific markets. And then some, are combined within a single product, because a market will typically yield multiple conditions, multiple characteristics. And so you try to match those characteristics with the optimal underlying strategic concept. And so, again, another critical piece is the systematic structure of a complete product, right? So you have the strategic concept, you have the market classification, which basically is a means in identifying the optimal entry logic. So for instance, if we have a market classification, 32, then we may have, 32A, 32B, 32C, those three models or four models are designed for that condition. Then we loop internal efficiency and correlation analytics or performance analytics as if those models were all trading live to be able to have both predictive and reactive mechanisms, which help us identify the optimal model that's designed for those conditions in which to activate. So we're diversified both from, a strategic concept perspective, even within the kind of microstructure of market classification. And then we have dynamic money management. Identifies per market environment substructure the number of shares, number of entries per condition, and then also the number of max shares or total allocation that will allocate to that position. Order statement, logic and loops, profit exits, loss assets, MPL. MPL is nonprofit and loss, so it's just an exit model or a group of exit models that does not look at profit and loss, as a form of filtering mechanism or identifier to identify when to exit the position. Maybe it's a change in sequence or a change in condition that's not optimal for either the current condition in which the entry model was produced or the signal was produced and or the underlying strategic concept itself. So, and then we have internal performance and efficiency analytics. And that's also a critical piece is because we don't deploy machine learning here how some other firms apply it within, the development process. It can be really challenging to identify the real underlying risk factors of a strategic concept that's derived by using machine learning. Instead, I don't know if anyone is familiar with the works of John Conway on his works in Rules and Complexities, but we aim to design the underlying strategic concepts ourselves, keeping with creatively simple concepts or underlying models, but we aim to exploit the benefits of complexity within the systematic structure side of a complete product. And so that gives us the ability to internally track performance of each model as if they was all trading live. And then that gives us the ability to also create proprietary data sets. So we're tracking these data streams from all the individual models. And that gives us the ability to weight certain models, identify correlations between how certain models perform in certain environments, as well as how models perform relative to each other. So it creates a lot of opportunity, again, to apply a constant pressure of improvement because we can loop efficiency of our entry logic or exit logic, and we can take that difference. For instance, if you have a buy price of $21, but the market continued down for another 50 cents below that. So if historically we can track that, from entry price, what's the farthest that price fell below our entry point before it came back and justified the position. So we can track that historically and then take a percentage of that value and loop it back in to create a more effective or more efficient, entry target, in the future for a similar condition, for a similar environment, for the same model. And everything, again, is, condition, model, concept specific. And so, another reason that why we focus on, markets that are linearly biased and justified on both a fundamental and behavioral aspect is, it's important, that values, even within a system, is justified on a fundamental, even technical values are fundamentally justified. And so, we tend to stick with markets that are justified and on multiple levels that also help fuel the underlying concepts that we choose to deploy within a structure. And so you have long-term linear bias, fundamental behavioral, technical, quantitative. And again, every concept you want, the trifecta of justifications, because if something isn't a justification, then technically then it flips over and becomes a risk factor or a potential source for a correlation reduction in your source of alpha and the condition characteristics that the market or asset is exuding. Outcome diversification. Again, we want to, we don't want the end result to be highly correlated to any specific model, any single strategic concept or market environment. And so we want to apply as many layers of diversification as possible in the hopes that the overall structure, shoots for optimal time return consistency. And that's really the overall objective is just consistent outcome. And so risk mitigation comes in many forms. And it's not just from a stop loss perspective or a max stop or what you have allocated. Risk is also, strategic risk or alpha risk. The risk that source of alpha will, the correlation is somewhat stochastic, will come in and out of favor with the characteristics of the market. So you have position, strategic, concept, asset portfolio, and then again, internal analytics that comes in many forms, both especially within the performance tracking mechanisms within, the entry and exit logic, and then also within the allocation model itself. And now the products that I'm about to review, they're meant to be compared against a buy and hold, where some of our futures products may have, a percent time in market, in the low 30% range, between, 30, 35%. However, these products have a percent time in market, in the 50 to 55% range. So they're designed to compare against a buy and hold. And, I'll review that in more detail. But, even when, analytics come in many forms, traders come in many forms, and then obviously, there's a plethora of different strategies that people deploy. So, what is value, right? And even when you're deploying a momentum concept, technically you're still exploiting some type of value, right? You're relying on a host or a collection or some combination of analytics that says, well, you're technically at value right now because there's something moving, in a certain direction, a certain acceleration that you have an increased probability that the price will continue in this direction. So no matter what type of strategy that you're applying, technically you're still trying to exploit some type of value. And so value is very subjective, much like, trend, it comes in many forms. And so because of that, it's very challenging. It would be very challenging from, a systematic perspective to only exploit a single variation of value. And so, here's another chart, and I really aim to apply as many different indicators as I possibly could that try to identify some type of value. And that can come from both an intraday perspective and from more of a, a multi-cycle or what have you. So again, value comes in many forms. So you have to understand that when you're designing a complete product that's value-based, even when it tries to exploit, reverting random, cyclic, or momentum variations of value, even if you are exploiting that single variation of value within that construct or within that condition, you still want to diversify that as much as possible. And that's the reason why all of our products, deploy, multiple entries, allow multiple entries per position. And so it's not simply, allowing a single model to execute a bunch of entries. Technically, it's allowing another entry to execute whenever that entry is from another condition, from another identified condition, and technically if it meets that identified value. So, allowing multiple entries allows us to, exploit multiple variations of value within a single, construct. And then also it creates, more ways for us to implement a more dynamic and adaptive allocation or money management. So we can identify, how many shares are we going to apply for that entry, for that condition, or how many shares are we going to the max that will allow for that position of that condition. And all of that is dynamically adjusted, based on, dynamic analytics. And so the products and markets that we really tend to focus on, ETF, SPY, IWM, RSP, DIA, QQQ, all the major sector index, and sector ETFs, also TLT and GLD. And then the large cap stocks, you'll see a lot of, consumer staples there. And the reason for that is that it meets, a behavioral justification for us. And an example of that would be Walmart. Our stock products and our ETFs are slightly different. We do have slightly different analytics that we deploy for market classification. And the reason for that is our stock concepts deploy the systematic structures are very similar, but the underlying concepts are slightly different, which also helps for, strategic diversification if you're combining a portfolio of both, large cap stocks and ETFs. But, the underlying concepts are derived from, I guess you could say a specific perspective of game theory. And so, Walmart, for example, performs well in good, economic conditions because people go there and they buy, TVs, larger, more expensive products. And systemic risk environments or poor economic conditions, people go there to buy more bulk food, more bulk products. And so, Walmart's, typically performs okay, and it's more smooth, right? And so, one of the types of value that we exploit is correlation value. And so whenever, for instance, if we're comparing Walmart to SPY or RSP, whenever, the perfect overall indicator for the economy would be SPY or RSP, right? Because it includes, a massive amount of the largest companies in the United States. So whenever, the economy is doing better than Walmart, it kind of acts almost like, a supportive mechanism. So, we tend to use that as a classifier to determine what type of model is best in that condition. And here is our SPICY outcome product. As you can see, this is a screenshot, and this is the actual model itself. This is the, I'm pretty sure I still have real-time data feed on the platform. So we just opened and closed yesterday. Again, this is simulated, not live real. Here is the performance report for that. You can see with the percent time in market is approximately, 53-54% of this product. The buy and hold return over a 24-year period is 453%, and the return on the model itself, is 2,063%. Here is the open equity, so you can see what the open position, drawdown was. And we do use compounding money management, and that is, again, buy and hold, only really compounds, I guess you could say, four times a year whenever dividends are paid out. But the benefit of market timing, especially multi-entry, multi-value, and a multi-factorial value allocation, whenever you combine those systematic structures, right, as long as you have, decent efficiency and accuracy, it can reduce the risk of being heavily allocated near recent cyclical or pivotal highs, because again, your entry logic seeking some type of value, and then your allocation model is also seeking some type of value. So, allocations only increase as multifactorial value also increases. And so these are the, simulated historical results. All of this starts with over 24 years of data with $100,000 initial investment. But again, that can be reduced down to, approximately 25 to, as long as, day trading requirements can be met. Because technically, even though that this is a short-term swing model, it can open and close positions intraday. And you can see that occurred, a few months ago when the market was, experiencing the downturn from COVID. You can see, multiple entries, types of value entries on the way down, and they did open and close all within the same day. So while that's not a common occurrence, it can happen, but still, if you want to be able to execute those when they do occur, be able to meet the day trading requirement. And I wanted to show you, how the model kind of behaves in multiple conditions. And then here in 2018, you can see how the model opened two positions here. And then we held those for a couple of weeks. However, because we deployed several types of, we want to give the model as many ways as possible to exit with a positive outcome. So that means applying, a long list of profit models, all of which are dynamically adjusted. And so, we have per position profitable exits, and then we have a per entry based profitable exit. And a per position based exit is something like this here. That is exiting the entire position, of all entries at one time. And then we have a per entry type of profit exit where it only seeks to exit, on a per entry basis. So this entry right here would be an example of that, or these down here would be an example of that. And so whenever we're holding an open position drawdown from the initial two positions or initial two entries, I should say, closed position return of these entries here help offset the open position risk of the entries held up here. So it, providing the model a way to exit on a per entry basis can help over time, reduce the open risk profile. And you can see here again in 2011, we held, an open position drawdown here, but the closed position return here obviously helped offset that. And then this is, the finances of 08-09. You can see we're extremely active here. Some positions were held longer than others. Extreme volatility positions tend to be more short-term in nature because, whenever a per entry, whenever exits are allowed on a per entry basis, those can typically are more likely to be in and out more quickly with a positive result. But we can still hold, you can see we held this position or this entry, for a couple of weeks while these positions were all opening and closing with a positive outcome. And so this is also just to show that, even in systemic risk environments, even going long only, there's still a ways to produce a positive outcome. outcome as long as you're deploying, the combination between, a multi-value and multi-entry, strategic concept combined with a dynamic value allocation model. And so here is the, close, there's the close return, and then here's the XLP C outcome. This is just a screenshot of that, again, historically simulated. The XLP over a 20-year period has a buy and hold return of approximately 188%, and the model has a historically simulated return over the same 20-year period of 903%. Again, extremely active. And again, trade frequency gives us a way to, produce the exponential growth, right? Because we're reinvesting the return made from each trade immediately back into the allocation model. So, trade frequency is also good for internal efficiency analytics. So the more frequently a model is trading, the more quickly we can identify changes that need to be made to either, the logic or, for extraction or, that something needs to be changed or, it makes the mechanisms that improve or weight the logic itself, more effective. And so not only that, but trade frequency also, overall, it helps overall, outcome consistency through time. And so, especially when you add in the compounding effect. And so that's why, a market timing concept, while, a traditionalist may say, market timing, is quote unquote high risk. Well, market timing is much like value or trend. It's very subjective. While there's, a lot of market timing concepts do deserve the bad reputation, of being high risk, but there are some concepts that when combined appropriately, that can help mitigate a lot of the risks that are associated with market timing concepts, and even take some of the benefits of buy and hold, and taking the benefits of them while mitigating some of the risks of buy and hold at the same time. And so we feel that the structures that we've implemented within each product, both from seeking some type of value, whether it's random, reverting, cyclic, and then combining that with, an adaptive money management model is, a good combination. And so here's the XLP in 2018, 2019. Here is the XLP through 2007-08. So you can see, definitely active historically throughout time, throughout, multiple conditions, multiple environments. And that's a result of deploying a multi-model or multi-alpha structure as well. And so, not a single model there is responsible for all the trades. It's a healthy combination of strategic concepts. And then some concepts are tuned more for specific environments and substructures. So, and then here is our XLU C outcome. Again, you'll see healthy trade frequency in multiple environments and substructures. And all of these products are very similar in nature. So, the underlying model is the same. What we do, however, within the development process is, we tune each concept or each model to each market's characteristics. And then obviously the plethora of exit models that we apply is also tuned to each market's characteristics. None of these products come with a set stop or max stop. We have loss exits included within them. They can exit with a losing position. It's just not a max stop or stop loss type of exit. It's more based on market condition and historical patterns based. So, but this is the XLU. And then here's the 2008, 2009. This is the historically simulated result of XLU. XLU through 17 years has a buy and hold return of 207% approximately. The model throughout the same 17-year period has a return, historically simulated return of 1152%. So 1,152%. And again, that's using a combination of trade frequency and accuracy, and then looping return per trade return back into the money management or allocation model, which again dynamically allocates a certain percentage on each entry on each position, and all that again reverts back to market classification. And we use the same classification methods, for our allocation model that we do for our entry and exit models as well. So, and then here's, just to show that we do, we will be producing, we're first focusing on launching our first group of ETFs, SPY, XLP, and XLU. Those have been launched for some time. We're in the process now of launching RSP, XLK, XLY, XLI, TLT, GLD. Once we're fully launched, we'll have approximately 15 ETFs. Once we're fully launched with equities, we'll have approximately 30, 35 equities, within that group. And so these products will be offered both as something that can be purchased. The models themselves can be purchased and then applied to, whichever, platform it is that you prefer, such as TradeStation, MultiCharts, and then NinjaTrader will be coming soon, or as a signal service, which is a monthly subscription. So we deliver the products to you on a text and email basis. And so whenever, the product is purchased, we send you the ELD packages as well as the workspace. We have open and closed code options, I would highly recommend open code, because then you can open it up and you can see what analytics that we're using. You can see the structures that we're using. And so if you, even for someone that's not necessarily a developer or programmer, you can still, extract a lot of additional value simply by you looking to see what methods that we're using to derive, the entry logic, et cetera. So there's a lot of value there. And especially if you're a programmer, you can copy and paste the code and include it in whatever concept that you may be developing on your own. So, you can really, extract additional value from that by applying it to concepts that you're developing, on your own, different markets as well. And so, that's another aspect here is when we send you the workspace, that's just a variant that we're sending to you. That's not necessarily, you're not stuck with that variant. You can go back, you have access to, all the inputs, all the variables. You can tune it on your own. You can optimize it, back test it. You can apply it to other markets if you wish. You can see how we're the different structures or different models that we're applying to different markets. And so you have a lot of versatility there from not just whenever you purchase a product, let's say, for instance, the spicy outcome, the model technically that's applied to that model or to that market, can be applied to other assets. You just have to tune it to it. So you have to tune it to each market's characteristics. That's the way and how it's kind of programmed. But everything is kind of programmed to be extremely versatile. So it helps, through our R&D process, we found that certain concepts and certain structures work best together. So we've tried to, streamline our R&D process as well. And so, just simply passing that process and what we've learned throughout designing models through time is something that's, beneficial to everyone involved. So, and then again, the signal services delivered via text and email. We quickly realized that, traders come in all shapes and sizes. Some people check email more frequently. Some people check text. So we want to have kind of send it to you in both ways as well. It makes it more efficient. So the availability and platforms, TradeStation, MultiCharts, NinjaTrader will be coming soon. And then whenever a product is purchased, there's an implementation of filmization, that we offer. We'll help you get the product set up. We'll review the code with you and how to apply it, how to open up the workspace. It depends on, your level of familiarity with the platform it is of your choosing. But we'll work with you however we can on that, because it's in our best interest that you're successful with these products. So again, the signal services, even if you have your own concept that you're deploying, these products can be used as, an additional form of analytics, an additional form of probability analytics, a confirmation tool. So it's not just, you have to just use it from a fully automated perspective. It can be, something that you use to, you know, within whatever forms of analytics that you use for your personal trading or investing. And so there's, you know, value in just being able to apply that to different markets and work that into, you know, however types of concepts that you have developed throughout your time. But if you have any questions, you can reach out to Brian at optimizedtrading.com or Robert at optimizedtrading.com. And then we just started recently just posting, we created a YouTube page. And so if you just search for Optimize Your Trading and then scroll down until you see our little page, and then you can click on that. You know, we'll post inside the content and so, or inside the concept content. And so we review, you know, some of the concepts, analytics, and more detail, you know, especially moving forward as we continue to launch these additional ETFs. We'll go through and launch an additional video. We just started doing that last week. And so we'll seek to continue to, you know, launch as much content as we possibly can, you know, because I think that it works to everyone's benefit. The more you know about a product, you know, the more comfortable you'll be with it. And so again, you know, we work with clients however we can, from both, you know, it's not just, well, you purchased a product and you're on your own. You know, we take pride in not just the time that it's spent to develop these products, but also the time, you know, developing relationships with our clients. And so that's just as important to us. And so, you know, we have two websites, optimizedtrading.com, which is more of our futures products. And then we also have optimizeyourtrading.com. And so that is more of the, you know, equity ETFs, products and services. But all of our products really, really seek, no matter if it's a futures product or if it's, you know, an equities product, the underlying, you know, conceptual philosophies are the same. We want to diversify the factors that produce outcome. We want to exploit multiple market environments and substructures, and we want to increase the per trade probability of positive outcome, right? And so that's another benefit of multiple entries. And so you're not, because value is subjective and there's and people are buying at different levels, it gives the strategy an ability to, if you're not right on the first one or second one, that, you know, that's not really necessarily going to determine the outcome of that trade. And so, you know, multiple entries increases the probability, again, that position could end with a positive outcome. And we don't simply buy just because the market made a new low. It has to meet certain criteria within our model structure, within our analytics. So, and then the allocation to that can vary. So just because you see an entry there, you know, the entry could be a small percentage. For instance, you know, this entry here could be, you know, 2%. This could be 3%, 4%, 0.5%, 1%, or it could be vice versa. So, I mean, it's all dynamically adjusted. And it really depends on the model that's executing that entry and how that model's performed historically in that environment. And then also what other models are included within that position. Because whenever you have a multi-entry, you know, that is coming from multiple models. So, you know, everything works together in unison for a single objective. That being said, whenever we test, you know, these products, we don't want to rely on multiple entries or an allocation model for the outcome to be consistent. We want the underlying, you know, concept itself to be as efficient, as robust as possible. So whenever we're first designing this, we always start with the initial entry, because technically speaking, that's what we want. We want to be in and out quickly, with a positive result, and then immediately reinvest that back into the money management, which will help further fuel growth. And so, you know, again, we don't want the allocation model or the additional entries to be the main justification. Instead, we look at those systematic structures as more of like a safety net type of structure to help, reduce the risk of randomness, the negative impacts of randomness, and or, the correlation of alpha, either an initial entry or additional entry, you know, being somewhat stochastic in nature. So, you know, all these structures that we implement are really designed to work together to really, really drill home on the benefits of diversification, and to do it within a single asset, within a single product perspective. And so we feel that when you really step back and you combine these products versus a buy and hold, you know, the entries themselves are seeking some type of value, the allocation themselves themselves are seeking some type of value. And then you're stepping into those positions, and each entry itself is, you know, can be, you know, dynamic in nature from the allocation that's applied to that. So, and then giving each entry and each position as many ways as possible to exit with a positive result in a plethora of different environments and substructures. So whenever you look, you know, at consistency, typically in order to achieve consistency, you know, frequency must occur first. You know, you must typically, like mathematically speaking, you need a good number of frequency of events. And again, that's another reason why we prefer concepts that have healthy trade frequency. And then, you know, another positive side effect of healthy trade frequency is a more quicker compounding rate. And so also the internal efficiency analytics are more effective in looping in that layer of intellect back into the order statement logic for further, you know, constant pressure of improvement again. But, you know, this was kind of a short presentation today. You know, again, you can look back through this product. If you need any additional screenshots, if you have any questions about these products, you know, feel free to reach out. You know, I'm available. I mean, you know, I'm a workaholic, so I'm always around. I'm always developing new concepts for different markets. But, you know, reach out at brian@optimizedtrading.com. You know, my phone number is not listed here, but it's 304-601-1231. Or you can just send me an email and we can discuss any questions that you may have. Again, you know, we're looking to launch additional ETFs right now, SPY, XLP, XLU, and then here soon, like very, very soon, you know, it'll be RSP, QQQ, XLK, XLY, XLI, TLT, GLD. And then once we have the 15 ETFs, then we'll seek to be launching the individual large cap equities. So we're applying these multi-value, multi-entry value allocation model concepts. It's a really long structure there, but we're applying these concepts in essence to, you know, we're not chasing the hottest name on the street, right? We don't get into the stock picking game. That's not our MO. And so we want to apply these concepts to, you know, the, you know, blue chip, large cap dividend stocks, you know, what's considered to be, you know, some of the more, you know, consistent or safer equities out on the market. We do have a few, you know, that's I guess more popular, like Tesla and Facebook, Microsoft, but a lot of it is, you know, consumer staples, Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, Walmart, AT&T. AT&T actually is a fabulous stock. It works extremely well with our concepts, or we feel anyway from you know, our development process. Not only that, but it actually offers a really healthy dividend. And when our products are combined or applied to these assets, you know, dividends are not, you know, factored into the performance file. And so that's, we view dividends kind of like, the cherry on top, really. And so not only that, but as position, you know, if you're experiencing an open position drawdown, you know, the average time per position tends to increase as you're holding. So that increases the probability that you'll actually receive a dividend from some type of entry or number of shares that you're holding at that time. So it can help mitigate, you know, open position risk. So it's a small, but yet, you know, it's definitely a benefit there. And so but AT&T, the reverting characteristics of that market is even better than some ETFs, some sector and index ETFs. So it's a great market. It works well for our concepts anyway. You know, we prefer reverting environments. And so, you know, the quicker the model can be in and out with some type of positive result, the better. And that actually increases the rate that compounding. And again, our exit criteria is all dynamic. One trade can be 20 cents and the next can be $5. To us, it's not, that's, you know, we want to match our profit exits to each environment substructure to be the optimal value there for what that's shown historically per model, per environment, per substructure basis. And so again, it can be 20 cents to $5 or $8 or whatever that may be. But, you know, we're really more concerned with getting in and out quickly with positive result and then looping that back in to the system. And so the system is kind of feeding itself, so to speak. And so, but that's the overall philosophy of our concepts for all markets that we pursue. Our futures concepts don't compound like that. You know, if you want some type of customization, organization, we can design, we have allocation models for futures that can compound, but, you know, from a retail product or, you know, we haven't included that, but, it works best, the share size, it's an unleveraged market. So it works extremely well with equities. So, but that's the areas in which that we focus and the why that we focus is the justifications for, designing those kind of long biased models on those long biased asset types. The other thing is we also design short models that can be combined with that. So for instance, the SPY, we do offer, a variant that does come with, that does have, short models applied to it. A vast majority of clients are deploying these concepts within, maybe like an IRA structure. And so that's not an option for them. So this is the reason why I show typically just long only, but even when we apply, our short models to that, ultimately we still want to reflect the overall characteristics of that market. So you still want, approximately like a 70-30 ratio, right? So maybe 70-30, 75-25, long versus short. So we always look to maintain those characteristics. And the same thing goes for strategic concept versus characteristics. So if the market is 60% reverting and 40% momentum, then, whenever you dive into the market itself, the systematic structures, you'll have the same correlated of strategic concept that match those characteristics. So we don't take a concept and try to overly force it to work on each market. Everything is really tuned and kind of organic in nature. So everything begins and ends with the data, right? And so that's where we want to start with, the R&D process, the analytics process. And we found that to be more fruitful. But again, if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out. Brian at optimizedtrading.com. If you have time and you want to check out our YouTube, it only has one video on it now, but we'll be adding additional content there soon. So, stay on the lookout for that. And then Optimize Your Trading and then Optimize Trading for more futures products. But again, it's been a pleasure, chatting with you guys today. Again, if you guys have any questions, don't hesitate, always around, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.